Our sermon text this afternoon is Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. However, I will be reading the entire chapter for context. Jonah chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Hear now the very word of God. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, It is better for me to die than to live. Then God said to Jonah, Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, It is right for me to be angry, even to death. But the Lord said, You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Well, beloved in the Lord, we've followed quite a journey in the book of Jonah. The most recent piece of this journey was Jonah's entrance into Nineveh, his preaching to the people, and the swift repentance of the city, from the least to the greatest of them, all the way up to and including the king. They turned from their evil ways and turned to God. What a great time of rejoicing! What a wonderful time to celebrate at the work of our God in saving many, many people. Nineveh repented. Praise the Lord. This would also be a time to be in awe of his great mercy toward those people, as he would have been just to bring forth the promised judgment. However, instead of judgment, he granted mercy and salvation. And considering this great act in Nineveh, we grasp more of what David understood and stated in Psalm 86:5 when he said, For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. So in what should have been a time of great joy for Jonah, we find him in a quite different state of mind. Think about it. Here is God's abundant blessing, working through the preaching of the word, truly what every preacher prays for and desires, that God would work mightily in the hearts and lives of people, bringing them from death to life through faith in Christ, that his will be done in the salvation of his people. And to see such a response across the city of Nineveh, wow! However, instead of joy, we find Jonah's outrage, and subsequently God's lesson to Jonah regarding his anger. And so in this chapter, we see Jonah's response in verse 1, his prayer in verses 2 and 3, and God's response and dialogue with Jonah in verse 4 through the rest of the chapter. But in verse 1, it says, "It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry." Now, we aren't informed as to how Jonah knew that God had relented and would not bring judgment upon the Ninevites. God had informed him in one way or another that the threat he had spoken of would not be fulfilled. And again, here we see the repetition of strong emotions in this book. If you remember, the sailors in chapter 1, verse 10, were exceedingly afraid when they found out that the storm was from the Almighty God. And then in verse 16 of chapter 1, when the Lord calmed the storm, they were fearing the Lord exceedingly. And here we see that Jonah was exceedingly displeased. Literally, Jonah thought that this was a great calamity. He wasn't happy. In fact, he was quite disturbed about this. And the rest of the verse tells us that he became angry. Anger was kindled in his heart, which was made up of envy and indignation and grief. Jonah clearly didn't respond like Jesus said the angels do in heaven when they joy over one sinner who repents. But not Jonah. But why was Jonah so angry? It's an obvious question, but why was Jonah so angry? Jonah thought that he knew the end of the story. He thought that even though he preached to the people, the Ninevites wouldn't repent. No way! Look at their wickedness, look at the bloodshed, the corpses, how evil they were. The Lord would wipe them out, and justice would be served. Indeed, Jonah's greatest fear in his flesh was that God would grant repentance and forgiveness to Israel's most hated enemy. But my friends, isn't this too often our response as well when things don't go our way or the way we expect them to go? Here are a few things to remember. It's sinful for us to rail against God in anger for things going according to His plan and not ours. We can go to the Lord in prayer and we can ask Him to help us with our emotions. Ask Him for insight and enlightenment so that we may better understand. But we shouldn't be hotheads, unleashing our anger at God. Whatever pleases God should please us. And so even though we may not understand at the time, as we pray that His will be done, we need to be pleased when it is done, regardless of if it's different from our expectations. But also remember, God's providence is always perfect. Therefore, we need to train our minds to quickly think, though I didn't expect this, how is God working or how will He work this in me or in others for His glory? If we train our minds to be content to look at things from His perspective and not ours, anger is quickly thwarted. And so in verse 2, we see Jonah's prayer. And from a heart full of bitter emotions in these two verses, we find Jonah praying to God. As we consider his prayer, we might find ourselves thinking initially, great, he's praying to God. He will ask for help with his emotions, ask for forgiveness for sin that he's committed. He will be thankful for God's mercies. However, what we find is quite the opposite. Jonah's prayer is selfish and prideful. His corruption got ahead of his graces, and when he should have been praying for benefit by the mercy of God himself, he was complaining of the benefit others had been given by that mercy. Basically, he told God, Thank you for the mercy that you extended to me, but why in the world would you extend it to them? But yet, beloved, even in this, the beauty of the gospel shines forth. We were most undeserving of the least of God's mercies, and we are most undeserving of the least of God's mercies. We were enemies of the living God, just like the Ninevites, dead in sin, deserving condemnation, deserving his most fear and wrath-filled judgment. Yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Grace and mercy were extended to us in Christ. Jesus paid the price on the cross. As Jonah proclaimed in his prayer from the fish's belly, salvation is of the Lord. And salvation is truly by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Mercy to those who deserve none of it. And then Jonah said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and a merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, who relents from doing harm." So we see Jonah justifying himself for fleeing the presence of the Lord when he was first called to Nineveh. In essence, "I knew you would do this. That's why I tried to take matters into my own hands and prevent it." But Jonah here was giving God a rationale for his anger. But notice his rationale, and in it, Jonah was contending with God. Consider Job 40, verse 2, where God answers Job and says, "Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Shall man correct God? No." Not only saying, "I'm angry," but with Jonah also saying, "Let me teach you something, God." Jonah took it a step further. He desired to teach God. Sin had bubbled up in his heart again. And here Jonah reveals the reason for his flight following his first call by God. He knew the character of God. Jonah knew that he was gracious and merciful and loving. Indeed, all of the attributes and the characteristics of God that Jonah himself had cherished in many ways in this difficult journey. However, here we see Jonah claiming the character of God was the problem. Some of the most beautiful characteristics and things of God were a problem to him. Jonah was thirsty for the destruction of his enemy. Because Jonah thought he knew what was good in this situation better than God, he said, "Therefore, now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Imagine the instrument that God used to save many people through the preaching of the word now asks God to kill him. The situation was so bad, so intolerable in Jonah's mind, that he would rather die than live. Have you felt that type of desperation, beloved, at one time or another? There are times and occasions when our striving seems to be fruitless. There are times when it feels like our world is crashing down, that it's falling apart, that it's spinning out of control. And that desperation is a response to feeling out of control as we try to regain that control quickly. Indeed, there are times when we aren't in control. But we need to remember and be comforted by the fact that God is sovereign. God is in control, and his sovereignty is good.
Amen.
His providence is good. In regards to our time on this earth, Scripture tells us that the Lord has numbered our days. We aren't to try to take the role of God in our own lives. Jonah's request was definitely one of desperation. He didn't like God being in control. Jonah thought that he could teach and convince God to make him sovereign, so to speak, in this situation. But our focus needs to be on trusting the Lord and His timing of when our service to Him is done. We must not ask that our service be ended prematurely, but rather our request should be, how can I best serve you today, Lord?
Amen.
With the time and the breath that you've given me. If we understand that we belong to Him, beloved, we are His, then the wrestling and the turmoil and the things that are going on in our own minds about our own situations, about our own failed expectations, and about what we think life should be like or this situation should be like, it doesn't matter, because we belong to God. He has created us. He has made us. He is sustaining us even now. He is giving us the breath to breathe. He is giving me the breath to preach. And He has called us at this time and in this place to serve Him. How can I serve you today, my King? Should be our response and our question. Remember, though Jonah was willing to give up, God didn't give up on Jonah. And isn't that such a comfort? Isn't it wonderful that our groom, the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't give up on us, His bride? He never has. He never will. And notice in verse 4, God's response and lesson. And so in response to Jonah's prayer, notice again the great mercy and patience of the Lord. God could have severely chastened Jonah again for his sinful anger. But we see the Lord reproved Jonah verbally in verse 4, as well as through an object lesson in the rest of the chapter. And we'll consider that object lesson next week. But in verse 4, God said, and ask the question, is it right for you to be angry? I want us to note that God's rhetorical question here is a gentle response. A simple and clear question with an obvious answer. I also want us to see the fact that He asks him a question. God talks with Jonah to help him to think rightly. God doesn't just affirm what right thinking is, but He involves Jonah in this lesson to help him to understand. I think that this informs us of how we can gently respond to those who are in sin. It reminds me of Psalm 103, verse 13. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. He knows we are but dust, the psalmist tells us. But here God demonstrates a degree of pity to Jonah. Also, we need to see the gentleness of God towards us. Even in the midst of our ups and downs, even in the midst of our obedience and rebellion. I'll leave you with a few thoughts. We as the children of God can oftentimes be arrogant, stubborn, and downright sinful in our responses to our Heavenly Father. We tell ourselves, if God would have just done what I wanted Him to do, when I wanted Him to do it, things would have worked out better. We can sinfully desire that God would function like a genie in a bottle, that he would carry out our wishes on demand. But what foolishness that is. We must be mindful of this temptation and resist it. But this passage raises the question. Though we are to pray for our enemies and love them, do we really desire that they be saved? Would we be outraged like Jonah, or joyful like the angels, if God indeed did save them? Our prayer should be that we would overflow with joy. God, though sovereign and almighty, extends abundant mercy and patience to his children. And these verses show us a dialogue between a father and his son. Though we sin against God daily, and though God hates sin, yet he is so gracious with us. Parents, as God responded to Jonah's anger with much love and grace, we too must be mindful to do the same with our children. These aren't just times for reprimand. These are teaching opportunities. There are lessons to be learned. Children, I pray that you have learned more about the grace and kindness of God today. I also pray that God grows you in your ongoing willingness to learn. For God doesn't deal with us as we deserve, but he loves us as sons and daughters because of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of Christ, he breaks through our stubbornness and enlightens our hearts and our minds to the truth and works in us by his Spirit to walk in it. May God grant us all grace to know his abundant mercy in the salvation of sinners, and like the angels in heaven, have great joy when one repents. Praise God for his word. Let us pray.